T-minus 60 seconds and counting. We passed T-minus 60. 55 seconds and counting. Neil Armstrong just reported back. It's been a real smooth countdown. We passed the 50-second mark. Power transfer is complete. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start.
It is July 16th, 1969. It is 1 minute after 8 in the morning. What you are about to hear actually happened as three men, Neil Armstrong, Edward Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins, went about their work.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
And so it started. Three men's incredible voyage to the surface of the moon, and the collective breath of the world's 3 billion people wouldn't be let out again until after it was safely concluded. Roughly 3 hours later, one of the mission's earliest crucial moments, the first of many, had arrived.
We confirm ignition and the thrust is go.
10 short minutes later, the verdict was in on the vital maneuver.
Houston, Apollo 11 and Saturn gave us a magnificent ride.
By 1:43 that afternoon, 13:43 on the 24-hour time system used by the spacemen, although excitement and tension remained high here on Earth, the mission aloft was ticking along like a well-oiled machine. The mood was almost casual.
Well, we didn't have much time, Houston, to talk to you about our views out the window when we were preparing for limb ejection, but up to that time we had the entire northern part of the lighted hemisphere visible, including North America, the North Atlantic, and Europe and Northern Africa. If we're late in answering you, it's because we're munching sandwiches.
By now firmly established on a course that would take her behind the moon, Apollo 11 continued the enormous ellipse that was to carry her occupants to a place visited by only the merest handful of space travelers before them.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. All your systems are looking good. Going around the corner, we'll see you on the other side. Over.
And we've had loss of signal as Apollo 11 goes behind the moon. We were showing a distance to the moon of 309 nautical miles at LOS, velocity 7,664 feet per second.
And as Apollo 11 turns into her final lunar orbit, the intrepid explorers prepare for the most unbelievable climax imaginable, the ultimate moment in the history of man as an explorer, now just one day away.
Apollo 11 is getting its first view of the landing approach. This time we're going over the Perunteus crater. Looks very much like the pictures, but like the difference between watching a real football game and one on TV, no substitute for actually being here.
On and on they circle now, like a bird circling for a landing. And the preparations go on as Armstrong and Aldrin get ready for an appointment with destiny.
This is Apollo Control. At this time, Armstrong and Aldrin should be completing pressure checks on their spacesuits. The LEM and CSM still docked, and Armstrong and Aldrin within the LEM, that will be their home for the next 30 hours or so.
2 hours go by, and finally, it is time to take the Eagle from its nest.
Eagle, Houston, we see you on the steerable, over.
Roger, Eagle, done dot.
Roger, how does it look?
The Neil? Eagle has wings.
Roger. Houston, you're looking good for separation. You're a go for separation, Columbia, over.
You got right down US-1, Mike.
All the skill that Pilot Armstrong can muster now is brought into play. Their fate is in his unfailing hands as millions clench their fists in anxiety. But Eagle is shooting straight as an arrow now.
Go for landing, over.
Roger, understand. Go for landing. 3,000 feet.
Stop
alarm. 1201. 1201.
Roger, 1201 alarm. Where go? Same type. Where go?
200 feet. 4.5 down. 5.5 down. 100 feet. 3.5 down. 9 forward. Lights on. Forward. Forward. 40 feet down, 2.5. Picking up some dust. 4 forward. 4 forward. Drift into the right level. Contact light. Okay, engine stop. Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Relief. Elation. Amazement. These were the emotion-laden reactions of the listening millions here on Earth. And then the realization of what might have happened as the confrontation with danger is revealed.
Houston, that may have seemed like a very long final phase. The auto-targeting was taking us right into a football field-sized crater with a large number of big boulders and rocks for about a 1 or 2 crater diameters around it. And it required a gun and P-66 and flying manually over the rock field to find a reasonably good area.
No time for postmortems, though. Men are on the moon. There's work to be done. The greatest adventure lies still ahead. And from the vast reaches of space came these descriptions.
No, is a relatively level plain cratered with a fairly large number of craters of the 5 to 50 foot variety, and some ridges, small 20, 30 feet high, I would guess, and literally thousands of little 1 and 2 foot craters around the area. We see some angular blocks out several hundred feet in front of us that are probably 2 feet in size and have angular edges. There is a hill in view just about on the ground track ahead of us. Difficult to estimate, but might be a half a mile or a mile.
6 hours later, with all preparations completed, mankind was about to reach his finest hour. What Columbus felt when he stepped ashore in the New World, what Balboa felt as he climbed to the top of the hill and saw the Pacific, what Admiral Byrd experienced on the frozen wastes of the South Pole must have been nothing to compare with the emotions of Armstrong and Aldrin as they faced the ultimate moment of this or any other journey. We bring you the climactic sequence of events without further comment now.
Okay, can you pull the door open a little more? I'm going to pull it now. Houston, the Mesa came down. All right.
Houston, roger. We copy, and we're standing by for your TV. And we're getting a picture on the TV. Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
Okay, I just checked getting back up to that first step. That hasn't collapsed too far, but it's adequate to get back up. I'm at the foot of the ladder. The LAM footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches, although the surface appears to be very, very fine-grained as you get close to it. It's almost like a powder. I'm going to step off the LAM now. That's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
One small step for a man. One giant leap for mankind. Just like that. No trumpets blared. No drums were rolling. No thunderclaps split the heavens. But a quarter of a million miles away, every heart on Earth stood still. The business of the world came to a halt. And each one of us wondered how man had come so far that he could cross the yawning void and set foot on the dusty crust of an alien planet. Crowning event follows crowning event now in rapid succession.
I'll step out and take some of my first pictures here.
Roger, Neil, we're reading you loud and clear. Let's see, getting some pictures and the contingency sample.
Okay, the contingency sample is down and it's up sample. Like it's a little difficult to dig through the crust.
Very interesting. It's a very soft surface, but here and there where I plug with the sample collector, I run into very hard surface. I'll try to get a rock in here.
Aldrin joins Armstrong on the surface of the moon.
Beautiful view.
Isn't that something? Magnificent sight out here.
Magnificent desolation.
The pre-established routine is picked up with clock-like precision.
Bill is now unveiling the plaque.
For those who haven't read the plaque, we'll read the plaque that's on the front landing gear of this LAM. Dear men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon, July 1969, AD. It came in peace for all mankind. It has the crew members' signatures and the signature of the President of the United States.
The pre-planned program of activities resumes again.
Roger, the EVA is progressing beautifully. I believe they're setting up the flag now. Neil, this is Houston. We'd like you all to get two core tubes and the solar wind experiment. Two core tubes and the solar wind, over.
Roger.
Buzz, this is Houston. It's about time for you to start your EVA closeout activities.
Adios, amigo. Anything more before I head on up, Bruce?
Negative. Head on up the ladder, Buzz.
Finally, the day's work ended, and almost exactly at the stroke of midnight, man's most glorious day comes to a close. By no means, however, was the mission complete. Still ahead lay the tricky business of ascent, redocking, and return to Earth. Now came the careful retracing of their steps, and a docking that was not entirely without difficulty. But this phase was culminated successfully. Here is the confirmation from Houston.
This is Apollo Control. Communications are somewhat scratchy with Apollo 11. Columbia and Eagle now reunited to become Apollo 11.
This is Apollo Control at 130 hours, 16 minutes. We reacquired Apollo 11 about 25 minutes ago at 129.51. At that time, Mike Collins reported that all three crewmen were in the command module. The transfer occurring while the spacecraft were on the backside of the moon.
Then it was time to say goodbye to a dependable old friend as the lunar excursion module, affectionately known as Eagle, was jettisoned into darkest space. Columbia then headed around the back of the moon on the first leg of the Earthward flight, and this is what we heard next.
Hello, Apollo 11, Houston, how did it go? Over.
About to open up the LRL doors, Charlie.
Roger, we got you coming home.
Coming home. And that's just where they headed through the next 2.5 days. Finally, the last great hurdle on this interspace steeplechase loomed ahead. The Apollo 11 astronauts had been in space for 8 days.
Apollo 11 Houston, you're still looking mighty fine here. You're cleared for landing.
We're at entry time. Blackout very shortly. Range to go to splash, 1,533 nautical miles. There's blackout. Araya 3 reported a visual contact. The Hornet reports Airbus 1 has visual contact. The Hornet now reports a visual contact. Visual contact from the recovery ship. Hornet has voice contact. Aircraft reports visual with 3 full chutes. Hornet reports spacecraft right on target point. First astronaut is now emerging. Astronaut number 2 coming out the hatch now. And the third crewman is out of the spacecraft now. Hatch is closed and secured.
And with the most courageous travelers in the history of the world safely inside, the ungainly copter beat its choppy path through the air and onto the deck of the waiting Hornet. Finally, whisked quickly into the isolation unit that was to be their home for the long quarantine period, the astronauts knew the feeling of a solid floor beneath their feet once again and saw human faces close at hand again. There to greet them, too, was the President of the United States, waving to them through the glass of their trailer, speaking to them through a special hookup. And so it ended, the flight of Apollo 11, man's incredible journey to the surface of the moon, man's first step on his way to the stars and beyond. This is how it happened.